Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." You know, I want to just do some encouraging and remind you of some things tonight on a powerful truth. My God is able. Now, you know, we live in a world that is filled with uncertainty, pressure, fear, discouragement. And you might hear people asking, well, how's this going to end? How's this going to work out? How will I make it? What happens if things get worse? Now, as believers, our confidence is not in economy, politics, people, or circumstances. Our confidence is in God. And that phrase, God is able. You know, that appears quite a bit in the Word of God in one way or another. And it reminds us of something. God has no limits. We're limited. We have limited resources. But God has no limits. And so I want to look at several different areas that remind us that God is able. You know, that's just not theology. It is practical, everyday living faith, believing God is able. Now, you know, by Wednesday, many people are already tired. They've dealt with all kinds of situations and circumstances, and they come to church tired, and there's still 3 days left. They're mentally exhausted. Sometimes we feel spiritually drained, and many times carrying burdens that nobody else knows. But we need to remind ourselves, my God is able. Now, the first thing we need to remind ourselves is God is able to save completely. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, I guess what we need to realize, one of the greatest truths of the Bible, is that nobody is beyond God's saving power. You know, here this writer of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, says, save to the uttermost. That means completely, entirely. You know, God doesn't save halfway. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and some of you might have grew up in some other churches, but there, sometimes you have somebody say, well, boy, three people got saved last night, but one of them really got saved. Well, how can you, what's the difference? You know what it was? They saw this one person was weeping and crying, and the other two were just asking God to forgive them and asking Jesus into their heart. And they didn't show much emotion. And that's why some people, they say, oh, they really got saved. Well, that's a misnomer, as my dad used to say. When Jesus comes in, he changes you completely, whether you cry or not. Hello. You change from the inside out. You know, something on the inside, working on the outside. Whoa, what a change in my life. In fact, the Word of God reminds us of this there when it says for us to renew our minds. That's telling us that we have to do something with this body. He has already done something with the spirit on the inside, but now we have to do something. But, you know, but the enemy wants people to believe that they've gone too far, they're too broken, they're too far away from God. But let me tell you something. The grace of God reaches places that you or I can't reach, or that we think are unreachable, but the grace of God is not. You know, sometimes people become discouraged because they have been praying for a loved one year after year, and they keep praying, and they become discouraged. I know with my dad's oldest brother, Uncle Dub, people would say, you don't think old Dub will ever get saved, do you? And Dad said, I don't think it, I know it. You know, that was him. But what we got to forget, that conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he's working on them, but you don't know it. So keep believing, keep praying. You know, sometimes people look too hard from the outside. No, they're just hard. Yeah, but they're miserable on the inside. God knows how to reach the hearts of everyone. All you got to do is keep believing. Okay? But I will tell you how to pray for a, because they probably won't listen to you, for a family member. Pray that the Lord will send somebody across their path that they will listen to. Somebody that, you know, you think about somebody that shouldn't even have been saved is Saul of Tarsus. Come on now, how many know about Saul of Tarsus? That's who Paul, he became Paul, but he was Saul of Tarsus. And he was persecuting Christians. He was approving and putting them in prison. He was creating fear in the church. And they feared him. They saw a persecutor, but God saw a preacher. That's the power of grace. Don't stop praying for the prodigal. Don't stop believing for your family member. Don't let the devil convince you that someone is hopeless. There is no one that's hopeless. As long as there's breath, there's still an opportunity for God to move. Now let's talk about some things. That's talking about people getting saved. But let's talk about some other things. How many of you realize that we go through different seasons in life? Are y'all there? You go through different seasons in your life. God is able to keep you in the difficult seasons. Now, I guess maybe you've never been there, but I have. Anybody ever been in a difficult season? Well, I got some friends out there then. Some of the rest of you that haven't been in a difficult season, if you live long enough, you'll be in a difficult season. Hello. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Now, Paul wrote these words probably when he was in prison. That's why he was saying that he suffered these things and he wasn't ashamed. Paul had suffered tremendous hardship. I believe he understood suffering. Now, he had been a persecutor at one time, but now he is being persecuted for preaching the gospel. He understood pressure. If you read there, at one of the times he said, he didn't say it this way, but he said the burden of all of the churches was on him. Anybody read that in there? And he knew loneliness. He knew what it was to not have enough and what it was to have plenty. Yet in all of his life struggles, he said, I know in whom I have believed. His confidence was in God, not in situations, circumstances. His confidence was in God. Now, let's think about something here. There are seasons in your life when your emotions fluctuate. They go up and down like you're riding a roller coaster. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You'd be happy 1 hour, and the next hour something happens and your head goes to where your feet was. You're down. There are seasons, our emotions will fluctuate. Some days we feel strong. Woo, hallelujah. The next day you see that same person and their bottom lip is hanging out so far they're about to step on it. They're so down. But God is faithful. He doesn't fluctuate. He is the same all the time. Every time. He's the same. Now, one of the tactics of the enemy is that he likes to get believers thinking that they're not going to make it. Oh, yeah. Now, he helped you last time, but this time you're not going to survive. You know, you're not strong enough to survive on your own. You have to have God. Somebody said to me the other day, they knew some people that were going through a tremendous situation. And they said, what does people do that don't know God? Have you ever thought that way? It's something. Let's think about the disciples in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. These were experienced fishermen. They were on that lake all the time. And they're afraid the boat's gonna sink. Now, the storm was real. The fear was real. But they should have realized that Jesus was on board. And he said, we're going to the other side. What we have to do in our lives, in our seasons, is realize that no matter what happens, God is there to take us through that season. Now, they woke him up and he told the wind to be still. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we have the name of Jesus to use. And we can speak to situations. You know, some people fight depression. Some people fight discouragement. Some people fight anxiety. But let me tell you what. God is able to help you in every one of those situations. You may feel weak, but he is strong. Your strength is in him, not in you. You know, some people just say, well, if I could just pray enough. Well, it's good to pray. Praying enough, That's not going to get the job done. You got to, with your prayer, you got to put some belief. When you pray, you got to believe God hears you, and you got to believe God is working. And we need to sometimes stop and take a listen to the song we sing. He's working. We may not see it, but he's working. Hello. Now, let's go to another one. God is able to provide whatever you need. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things, and may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I sort of like that's New King James. I sort of like the NIV says, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, some people say, well, that's spiritual. Well, it says all things and having all you need. It doesn't say spiritually. It's making a statement. And we have to either believe the statement or don't. I believe that in all things, at all times, I will have whatever I need. I believe that. Because God is able. Yeah, but somebody said, well, but I got bills. I got responsibility. I just had an unexpected thing come at me. Yeah, we have all of that. Sometimes you get in situations that causes you to be anxious and have anxiety. But is anything that we have down here, is it really our source? The Bible reminds us that God is our source all the time. Not economy, not people, not programs. Thank God for programs. We need them in the natural. But we've got to get to the point that we realize it's God. It's God. Now, that does not mean that you're not going to go through these seasons that I'm talking about, because we all, if we live down here and if we're breathing God's oxygen that he put down here, then we are going to have seasons in our lives. Hello. In the natural, you've gone through seasons, right? You were in grade school, then you were in high school, and then maybe you went to college, you went to work, you were single, you got married, maybe you have a family, I don't know. But all of those are seasons. Do you realize spiritually we go through seasons? We grow spiritually. Now, I don't have time to talk about growing up spiritually, but we start out as an infant spiritually. So many people never look at it that way, but it's the truth. And then we move on. And Paul said that he couldn't feed them some things because they hadn't grown up enough yet. Now, that's not, I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what he meant. You know, as a child is growing, there's certain things you can't feed it. They may be really good stuff, but they're not able to digest it yet. Come on now. And everybody's always running around wanting this and wanting, oh, let's go over here. They really got it going on. Let's go over here. They really got it going on. And the problem is that because they haven't matured spiritually enough, now they're here and they get a little bit of this over here, and they get a little bit of this over here, they get a little bit of this, and then all of a sudden they're as confused. Well, I started to say a confused mess, but that wouldn't be a good statement. So Distract that out. They become confused. That's why it's important for people to settle down in a church and get fed the Word of God so they can become spiritually strong and grow. You know, too many times people are expecting God to move in certain ways. Well, God's not limited to one method. Now, sometimes he moves this way, sometimes he moves another way. Now, I think this is a good example that I can use. And Lynette has told you, I think we've told this before, but every time we would fly out in a plane, we would say, "Thank you, Lord, this plane's paid off." Some of you might have flown with us, heard us say that when we pray. I pray every time I leave, we pray that, claim the 91st Psalm over it and everything. And we did that for 10 years. Well, you know, because you've heard all these testimonies, well, this one come up and paid this off, you know, and paid the house off, paid this off, paid this off. You know, if you're not careful, you begin to think that way. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, of course, Miss Lynette is the chief financial officer, and so she calls in every Wednesday, even when we're on the road, wherever we are, tells them what bills to pay and so forth. And the accounts payable person said, "Well, when we write the check this month for the plane, it's paid off." Well, Lynette, she went and began to, she talked to God. She said, "God, we've been believing for that plane to be paid off, you know, and we expected somebody to do it." And this is what the Lord came back at her, says, were the funds never there to pay make the payment? Oh, no, they've always been there. They're there every time. Have you ever had to be late? No, we never have been late. He said, "Well, if you hadn't kept believing and praying, believing, they wouldn't have been there. That's the way I did it for you this time." Well, maybe he just wanted us to test our faith. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, don't get in your head how you think God should move, because he's got different ways. You know, he can send favor at the right time. He can open doors that nobody else can. You know, now many times God wants to help us, but then we get in panic and in fear and say, "Well, why is it not happening? What if God, you know, believe in God? What if it doesn't happen? That's fear talking. Faith talking said God has always been faithful, and he's done it before, he'll do it again. Okay, let's look at another one here. God is able to restore and rebuild. Isaiah 61:7. "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." Now, the NLT says it like this: "Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours." You know, one thing that we know, that we go through a painful season, that's for sure. And people carry disappointment, broken dreams, regrets, failure. And the enemy wants you to believe that because you are in that situation, you can never recover. God is able to rebuild. Yes. Restoration, that does not always mean that God might return exactly before. You know, sometimes restoration God brings wisdom where there was immaturity. Maybe what happened to you was because of immaturity. Hello. Maybe what happened to you is you didn't check everything out before you signed a document. But God can come in and he can help you. You know, I think about Peter. If there was anybody that was ever restored, it was Peter. He publicly denied Jesus 3 times. He said, "I don't know him. Who you think? I don't look at me. I don't know him." And now that same person that stood there at the trial and said, "I don't know him," now stands up boldly on the day of Pentecost and preaches the gospel to him. Would you call that restoration? Would you call that being restored? I think so. See, failure was not the end of Peter's story. Some believers spend years trapped in condemnation, but God is greater than your mistake. Don't allow the enemy to define your future by your past. God is able. Say it with me. God is able. Now, I got about 4 minutes, according to that clock back there. All right. Now, 6 minutes, I guess it is. Number 5, God is able to do more than you expect. And we go back and we read the scripture that we first read when we started out. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's saying here that he can do more, but it's according to the power that works in us. Hello? Come on now. That's a good thought. Are you in tune with the Holy Spirit every day? You know, you need to be. If you left the lights on in your car, it won't be long that battery will go down. Well, as you face all the situations that you're facing in life, if you're not plugging into the Holy Spirit continually, your battery goes down, and the Holy Spirit, It's hard to hear him because you haven't been in tune with him. Okay? Now, let's look at this. Sometimes we, in our situation, we look at God from our level and not God's level. See, disappointment can shrink your expectation. Paul describes God as one who does exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above. Well, that's sort of in line with what Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. They sort of connect, I think. Now, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he looked at it differently than the disciples. They said, "Oh, Jesus, we only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And those loaves, they weren't big loaf of bread like we got. It was small. There's just small loaves. But Jesus saw what God could do with 2 fish and 5 loaves. What we need to look at when we have insufficiency, we need to look at it that God's got more than enough. Some people, because something hadn't happened and they're disappointed, they turn against God. Well, let me tell you what. God's still a miracle worker. God is still a creator of opportunities. Sometimes, and I preached about this other day, you got to lift your eyes up. Quit looking at whatever the situation is and lift your eyes up. There's the other Wednesday night I preached that, I think. A couple, three Wednesday nights ago, I think it was. See, we've got to remember that God is more than anything that we face, anything that comes at us. Now, let's look at this last thing I want to talk about. God is able to keep us until the end. Jude 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, living for God is not easy. There's temptations, there's discouragement, there's battles. But we have God that's there to help us and keep us standing. You know, sometimes you can be fighting so many battles that you begin to get discouraged. That's when you need to be sure that you're connected to a good body of believers, because that's when you can have help. If you ever watch some of these animals out in the wild, if an animal gets injured or hurting or something, they will put them in the center of the herd, because the predators prey on those that are out here hanging out. And that's what happens. The enemy preys on them. But if you're connected with a body of believers, they can surround you and pray with you and lift you up and hold you up. Hello. See, God leads us and gives us strength to grow in him. Now, how many of you remember learning to walk? If you don't, ask your parents. Or you as parents, remember how your child is trying to walk. It takes a few steps and falls over. What do? You go over and pick them up and say, okay, now that's all right. Now let's go. Take another step. Right? Hey, our Heavenly Father is right there with us. Whenever we stumble or fall, he's there to pick us up and say, okay, keep going now. It's one step at a time. See, too many people want to jump from go to finish. You know I ran track, but do you know what? I never took one step and hit the finish line. I took a whole bunch of steps, 220 yards of them, because that's about what my stride was about. They said my stride was around, I had about a 40-inch stride or longer. But you know what? The problem that we need to do is to let God help us learn to mature and walk spiritually. So let me close this out. Let's settle it in our spirit. My God is able to keep me. He's able to provide for me. He's able to restore me. He's able to strengthen me. He's able to carry me through every season. So whatever burden you walked in here with, give it to God. Of course, 1 Peter 5:7, you all know it. You probably quote it all the time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I sort of like the way NLT says it. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We have a God that there's nothing that is impossible for him not to fix. Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, I talk to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their minds about things that they know, that they've heard, but just I wanted to give them a little refresher course tonight. Help us all to continue always to realize that you're always able. Never have you not been able. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? God is, turn to your neighbor and say, God is able. Amen. Listen, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve him, but you have, you know, turned your back, taken a detour, got off course, and you just need to come back and rededicate your life. The ladies are here. The men are over here. They're our prayer partners tonight. If that's you, if you'll come down here as we dismiss, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, come to the front as we're dismissed. Hey, first-time guests, we're sure glad to have you. What do we say again, church? Welcome home. All right. Hey, don't forget the announcements. Don't forget Friday night right here, 52nd graduation. I've been at all 52 of them. All right. Turn around and shake hands and say, my God is able. What about yours? And if you need salvation, you need to rededicate your life, you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. God bless.